namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. We'll continue reading this morning text 11 and 12 from chapter 5. And it goes on that the theme of this section is Krishna Katha. And Vidura is putting a highlight on how wonderful is Krishna Katha and what Prabhupada is doing in the purport following the verses is making a contrast between the Krishna Katha that we find in Srimad Bhagavatam compared to the Krishna Katha in other Vedic literature. Go back to just help express how important this distinction that's being made is. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, there's the essence of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam can be found there. And in the first three chapters, those six questions and the six answers, that's one way of saying that's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. In one sense, Bhagavatam could have ended. But it didn't end because the sages of Naimisharanya were very expert in taking essences and expanding them by questions and answers. One of the questions that they had asked was, what is that most important activity that one should be engaged in out of all of the religious activities of life? A similar question was asked later by Maharaj Parikshit at the end of the first canto. What's the duty of someone that's about to die? And what's that subject matter that they should always hear, chant, and remember? Shrotavya kirtitavya shadyaya pujasta nityada. So the answer is Krishna Katha. So at the end of the first three chapters, when the sages hear Krishna Katha is that subject matter that one should hear, then they want to hear Krishna Katha. Before expressing all of that Krishna Katha, there's some indication in what practically the final verse in the third chapter of the first canto is the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam, because one of the questions was, after Krishna left, where has religious principles taken shelter? Which is very relevant for us because it's Kali Yuga, and where are religious principles taking shelter? And the answer is given Srimad Bhagavatam, which appeared shortly after Krishna's disappearance. Metaphor is used just like when the sun sets, if shortly thereafter the moon rises, but is as brilliant as the sun, but cooling, unlike the scorching heat of the sun, very soothing and cooling, but as brilliant as the sun, that's the Srimad Bhagavatam that appeared shortly after Krishna appeared. So the Sutta Goswami goes on to describe how Srimad Bhagavatam appeared, because that question is asked, how did Srimad Bhagavatam appear? We have our, you know, how did Krishna appear? So we have Krishna Janmashtami. Every Janmashtami we explain how Krishna appeared. So Bhagavatam appeared by Vyasadeva. The whole chapter is there. Vyasadeva looking ahead because he's Trikala Gya. What's the meaning? Trikala Gya? Yeah. The syllable Gya means to know, and he can know Trikala, all phases of time, past, present, and future. So he looked into the future, and it was Kali Yuga, and what he saw wasn't pretty. And so he wanted to do something, being a saintly person. And because he was a literary saintly person, he decided to write literature that would be for the people of the age of Kali. And it describes the literature that he compiled. Then after compiling all the literature, he stepped back to look at how did it come out. You know, like we have a Rath Yatra and we ask, how does it come out? Or someone dresses the deity and they finish and they stand back and how did it come out? Or it's whatever you're doing. Natural. So when he saw what he did, he was dissatisfied. He was feeling, in fact, despondent. And that was puzzling to him. And so Narada came and instructed him why he was feeling despondency. He had not given sufficient emphasis upon Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Direct Krishna Katha, please. Same is the topic right here. Vidura is speaking about his hearing Mahabharat directly from Vyas in the end of the purport, I believe. Yeah, the end of the purport to text 12, Prabhupada writes, Vidura's reference to the Mahabharat indicates that he had heard of the Mahabharat from Vyasadeva, his real father, while he was away from home and was touring the places of pilgrimage. So, Vidura's father was Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva, after the three sons were born, he left because he was in the midst of some meditation and austerities. From time to time, Vyas came back because he was the father of the of Pandu and Dhritarashtra and Vidura. He served in a certain capacity as a spiritual guide to them, but he was not in the royal palace. He was Vyasadeva. He was off in other places. And when Vidura left, he went on tour in sacred places. It doesn't give the detail in the beginning part of this third canto, chapter 1, but in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that one of the places he went was one of the places where Vidura was, that where Vyasadeva was. And there he heard Mahabharata directly from Vyas. Now go back to the first canto. Vyas is compiling all that literature, including Mahabharata, and he's feeling despondent. Now back here in the third canto, Vidura heard it, and he's also not satisfied, or he's feeling satiated. He wants to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not to demean other literature compiled by Vyas. How that would be offensive. There are transcendental literatures, but they're transcendental literatures that weren't satisfying for the author nor necessarily satisfying for the reader, minus sufficient glorification of the personality of Godhead. So topics that Vidura is addressing to Maitreya are topics that are also addressed in other parts of the Vedic literature. But Vidura's experienced. And he's even directly referring to, I just had the experience of hearing from Vyas. And that's not that version. I want to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam version, or what you heard directly from Uddhava, or what you heard directly from Krishna. So when I'm asking about some activities, because the Mahapurana, as the Bhagavatam is, there's Mahapuranas, Puranas, and Upapuranas. There's degrees of historical compilation. And the Mahapuranas must have 10 topics. They do have 10 topics that they cover. And one of the topics they cover is the duties of mankind. Just like Bhagavad Gita, that's where it starts. What is my duty? We were discussing this yesterday. As devotees, we also need to know what is our duty. You know, so ultimately, our duty is to be Krishna conscious. And it doesn't mean that, okay, ultimately my duty is to be Krishna conscious so I can do whatever I like. I'm not regulated by codes of religion. I'm just being Krishna conscious. That's not right. We're regulated by codes of religion. For that matter, we're regulated by codes of the government. Prabhupada didn't teach us, you know, don't care for the orders of government. Break the law, it's okay. Prabhupada didn't teach us that. Part of, so there's a, for your information, there's a committee that's been formed, has a big fancy name, Hermeneutics and Epistemology Committee. That's a mouthful. You have to look up those words in the dictionary just to find out what the words mean. But it's a committee of devotees who are learned in Prabhupada's teachings, and a number of them have academic degrees, how to understand the teachings of Srila Prabhupada as historically how to understand the teachings of anyone after they've gone, and how to render what they were saying that was appropriate for a particular time, and what is appropriate for something that stretches over time. Because there are some people presently, and you know, as it happened in Christianity, so we don't want to see it happen in Krishna consciousness, that, well, that's relevant for that time and it's not relevant for the present time. So over a period of time, Krishna consciousness gets watered down till it's useless, or distorted, or, you know, something other than. So these are devotees that are how to under, because there are some persons that say, well, that was relevant during Prabhupada's time, or they say, you know, that was about material affairs and that's not absolute. And when Prabhupada was speaking from Shastra, that's absolute. So there's a distinction. Whoops, there's a distinction between things that Prabhupada said that were absolute and things that Prabhupada said that were not absolute, because it was based upon something that wasn't from Scripture. So, you know, we or I or a wise fellow should separate those two things. So this Epistemology and Hermeneutics Committee are going to take a look at that and see if they can reach some consensus on how you go about taking the teachings of Prabhupada and preserving them so they don't become distorted over time. Scholars are really good at distorting things. And mundane people are also. So, how that applies to here is, the Puranas are histories. They're ancient history. And they're embellishing or teaching by example by reference to example, some principle. Like, for example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, there's the story of Ajamila. And Shukadeva Goswami narrates the story to illustrate a principle. The principle is the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to eradicate all of one's past sinful activities, not only in this life, for millions of lifetimes, even if it's Abbas chanting. By the way, that's the kind of chanting we're doing. Abbas chanting. And to illustrate it, I'm going to tell the story. Once upon a time, there was a Brahmin named Ajamila, and he tells the story. And then at the end, he summarizes and says the teaching again. So Puranas are giving histories that illustrate points of spiritual truth. So Vidura has heard those histories. At least he's heard specifically, he's heard Mahabharata from Vyas. And in the course of this conversation, just to help keep in mind the elevated nature of the persons involved, one of Maitreya's friends was Vyasadeva. It's like, he's up there, Maitreya. That's who is one of his friends. And Vyas is the father of Vidura, so it gives an idea of the age of Maitreya as well. And he's saying, I want to hear from you about Krishna Katha that isn't just on this material, unsatisfying platform, not even with a tinge of Krishna Katha, but enriched with Krishna Katha. That's what I want to hear from you. Because I clearly understand the value of Krishna Katha. So, we'll go back to the last verse that we covered yesterday, text 10. I'll read it. O my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about the higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva, and I'm quite satiated with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of the topics about Krishna. It's like there's Varnashram and there's Daivi Varnashram. The distinction being there, one can be a Brahmana that's not a Vaishnav. There's this verse, Sat Karmo Nipano Vipra Mantra Tantra Visharada. One may be very expert in the 6 Brahminical qualifications and be very expert in mantras and rituals, tantras, how to perform different things. One may be perfect, but such a person cannot deliver themselves, what to speak of anyone else. But a swapacha, a dog eater, that's a Vaishnava, they can deliver themselves and their family. So he's not interested in scholarship. He's interested in when he's asking about these different topics. He's not just, you know, gathering information from a learned professor. He wants the essence in the form of Krishna Katha. Prabhupada presents a little metaphor. The opposite of being satiated is unsatiated. So the unsatiated metaphor is where there's a fire. However much wood you put in the fire, it doesn't extinguish the fire. It increases the fire. So similarly, a devotee who hears Krishna Katha, they're never satiated. Hearing Krishna Katha means they want to hear more Krishna Katha, means they want to hear more Krishna Katha. It increases their enlivenment, their fire for spiritual progress. So he's now emphasizing, having emphasized the importance of Krishna Katha, he goes on, who in human society can be satiated without hearing sufficient talk of the Lord, whose lotus feet are the sum total of all places of pilgrimage, and who is worshipped by great sages and devotees? Such topics cut off one's bondage to family affection simply by entering the holes of one's ears. So what does that mean? That means if your householders run for the door because you want to give up your family, and we don't want to see that, so don't stay and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, because if it enters the holes of your ears, you'll all get divorced and run away from your families. That's not supposed to happen, and that's nor is it intended. So what is that? I'll read a little bit from the purport and discuss. Krishna Katha is so powerful that simply by entering into a person's ears, it can at once give deliverance from the bondage of family affection. Family affection, dear householders, is an illusory manifestation of the external energy, and it is the only impetus for all mundane activities. As long as there is mundane activity and the mind is absorbed in such engagement, one has to undergo the repetition of birth and death in the current material nescience. People are most influenced by the mode of ignorance, and some are influenced by the passionate mode of material nature. And under the spell of these two modes, a living being is actuated by the material conception of life. The mundane qualities, I underlined this sentence, the mundane qualities do not allow a living entity to understand his real position. Not very encouraging. So, Prabhupada continues to describe the lower influence of ignorance, the somewhat less downtrodden position of the mode of passion, and the few that reach the mode of material goodness, philanthropy and altruism and social welfare and all those nice things. Under the false plea of the bodily conception of life, all such persons are certainly fools and do not know the implications of reality and unreality. Some of them are above the mode of goodness and passion and are situated in the mode of goodness, but mundane goodness is always contaminated by tinges of ignorance and passion. Mundane goodness can enlighten one. Mundane goodness can enlighten one that the body and the self are different, just by knowledge in the quality of goodness. One can accept and even discern. And in goodness, one is concerned with the self and not with the body. But due to being contaminated, those in mundane goodness cannot understand the real nature of the self as a person. It's like a lawyer building a case. Their impersonal conception of the self, as distinct from the body, keeps them in the mode of goodness within material nature. But unless they are attracted by Krishna Katha, they will never be liberated from the bondage of material existence. Thus, Krishna Katha is the only remedy for all people of the world, because it can situate one in pure goodness of the self and liberate one from material bondage. So, what just happened here? Prabhupada has given the range of the modes of nature and how there's different qualities of happiness and different qualities of knowledge according to those modes of nature. The mode of goodness, the Vedic culture in general, is to promote the quality of goodness, but it remains, the distinction here is it remains mundane goodness. Even if in that mundane goodness there's a notion of the soul distinct from the body. Until, as long as that remains impersonal conception, just that philosophical conception, one will remain in bondage of birth and death. Like Prabhupada gives the example, and it's classic. Someone who gives up the world, goes to the mountains and engages in austerities for a long time and becomes enlightened, perhaps. And then that enlightened soul comes down the mountain and starts philanthropic work. Or opens a hospital, or opens a school, or does something like that. So his Prabhupada's point is, if they've given up the world as false, why are they coming back to this world of false and busying themselves in that which is false? Because that's their teaching, it's false. Brahman Satya Jagat Mithya. So it's why are you contradicting yourself? Now, what about devotees? So the devotees, or Vidura-like persons, we are not Vidura-like persons yet, we're aspiring. But the help that we're getting is to understand the distinction between mundane goodness and transcendental life, or the life of a Vaishnava, devotee of the Lord, and the life of being a good person or performing prescribed duties as we ought to do. I'll summarize this in just a minute, but some very nice points come out. Text 12. Vidura is speaking to Maitreya and says, your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. So, one point is this one. How does it work? How did it work that Vyasadeva wrote all these other things and it didn't even satisfy him? You know, he's a literary incarnation. He's not, you know, one of us. A nice try, Vyas, but you couldn't cut it. He's not an ordinary personality. So the principle is, although mundane topics, who did it to who, politics, intrigue, specifically mentioned lusty things go on in the Mahabharata. Greedy things go on in the Mahabharata. You know, things that worldly people see happening all the time, and, you know, they're attracted to it. They like it. You know, it's like when there's a car accident, all the traffic slows down. Even the ones that are in the other highway, because they want to see that, oh, look at that. Yo-ho. Or there's a fight. You know, somebody's having a heated argument. There's this big crowd all of a sudden. You know, people are attracted to such things. So lust and anger and greed, and it's very marketable. So Vyasa has presented those things in the Puranas, in Mahabharata, but in such a manner, at least in Mahabharata specifically, that it draws those persons to hear those things. Of course, it's the good and evil struggle and good wins, because it's the good is, goodness is supported by Krishna, and Krishna wins. But ultimately, it's a take one to Krishna Katha, and that's Bhagavad Gita. Although the entry point is, what's my duty? It's Krishna speaking, so it takes one beyond, you know, should you fight or not fight, according to dharmic principles. It certainly discusses dharmic principles and persons that are into understanding what is dharmically to be done, not to be done. That's addressed, but it takes one beyond that. Sarva dharmam pratyaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, etc. Next point is that in the purport, Prabhupada says something that's very... could be confusing or give somebody pause. Almost sounds impersonal. And that idea is that beyond... those literatures that Vyas compiled that are simply on the platform of karma, take one then to the platform of gyan. And on the platform of gyan, the gyanis are those persons who no longer have interest in mundane affairs. And because they have no interest in mundane affairs, that's not presented within their literatures. In Vedanta Sutra, there's not Puranic embellishment to help people understand what the Vedanta Sutra says. It's just sutras. And the first sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that is, only when one has finished the business of mundane inquiries in the marketplace of sense gratification can one make relevant inquiries into Brahman, the transcendence. So it sounds like what Shankaracharya says. If you want to make spiritual advancement, you have to renounce the world. And if you're not ready to renounce the world, you can't make spiritual advancement. That's it. You want to come to my temple, my mat, become a sannyasi. You don't want to become a sannyasi? Don't come to my mat. You know, rot in the material world. And try to enjoy that which is false. Go chasing after it. Go ahead. Condemned. I had this experience, little anecdote to keep everybody wide awake. I was in a in the Delhi airport, one of those early morning flights when, I don't know, one third of Delhi is all at once trying to get on the same airplanes, check in their luggage and then go through security. And the security line was at least the football field long. It was really long. It was like five lines. And there was somebody in the line that was adjacent. And it was like, you know, 10 people ahead of me, a young fellow. He kept looking back and looking back. And, you know, I thought maybe I forgot to put my dhoti on or something. He kept looking back. And finally went through security. And I found a place to sit down, believe it or not. He came right next to me and said, are you with a spiritual organization? Said, yeah. He said, can I find out what is that spiritual organization? So, you know, ISKCON. Oh, I've heard of ISKCON. And you're wearing this color. Does that mean that you're a sannyasi? And I said, yes. And he asked, is it possible for one who's married like I am to make spiritual advancement? And I said, of course. He said, well, the place where I'm going, they're saying that you can't. And I'm just wondering, should I, like, you know, leave my wife and go and make spiritual advancement? So I said, oh, I can understand where you're coming from. I mean, I didn't say that. I could. So I was just in the process of discussing Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Uchate Prapancha Kataya Budya Hari Sambandhu Vasana, the teachings of Rupa Goswami. And just as I was explaining all of that, and he was kind of getting it, a devotee couple came along. They were headed for Hyderabad, as was I, and I happened to know the couple. So they immediately came with their small boy, and they all had their bead bags and tilak and paid obeisances right in the temple, excuse me, right in the airport. He's and looking at their tilak and their japa bead, I said, see, there's an example of householders that they didn't give up their household duties, and it directly connects with the message of this morning's verses. But they're dedicating everything to Krishna. So, how to avoid the implication or complication of mundane activities in the marketplace of sense gratification and come to the level of inquiry into Brahman, which according to what we just read Prabhupada write, you can't do that unless you give up mundane activities. So the answer is you have to make your activities transcendental activities. You have to transcendentalize your activities by the dedication of them unto Krishna, not mixing my sense gratification so much for Krishna, so much, you know, having two pockets. This is the so much for Krishna pocket, and this is the so much for me pocket. So much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me, 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 Krishna, Krishna. No good. You only have one pocket. The Krishna pocket. Everything goes to Krishna. Everything. 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 And if it can't be offered to Krishna, then you do without it. It means no thank you. Not at all, thank you. Without any problem, no thank you. Because it doesn't have anything to do with Krishna, no thank you. And if it has something to do with Krishna, then with being mindful of who it is for, then it's, yes, it's for Krishna. Then do it for Krishna. That's a sense of duties. And to take those that are worldly attracted to the position of offer it to Krishna, the Puranas and Itihasas are there. And the Vedic literature, the Shruti mantras are there for those that externally have given up the pursuit of sense gratification, but the point that's being made in the previous purport is that cannot elevate one to the position of beyond the influence of the lower modes of nature. One can become fixed and situated in the quality of goodness. That's okay, that's nice. But it's still bondage. And Krishna's indication is one should be relieved of that bondage. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunya Bhavarjana. Very early in Bhagavad Gita. The Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature. One should rise above the three modes of material nature. Be transcendental to all of them, including this impersonal conception of the self as distinct from the body, which may keep one in the mode of goodness within material nature. So directly is the personality of Godhead Krishna. So the rest of the purport is discussing the similarity and the difference of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, or Srimad Bhagavatam and any other Vedic literature, including Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is directly speaking. It's that type of Krishna Katha. The other type of Krishna Katha is speaking directly about Krishna. And when speaking directly about Krishna, it includes all things that come from Krishna, which include the whole material creation comes from Krishna. So that can be Krishna Katha also, provided the focus goes upon the source, and not just upon the affairs of the material energy, the push and pull of the material energies, the cause and effect of things of this world, and the modes of nature and how they're acting and so forth. The goal is to reach Krishna, and the way to reach Krishna is by hearing about him. So Prabhupada ends the purports of three verses in a row speaking about the importance of preaching. So I'll read them because we all need to hear. To preach Krishna Katha all over the world, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, is the greatest missionary activity. He's contrasting that from the mundane philanthropy activity of the quality of goodness. And all sensible men and women of the world may join in this great movement started by Lord Chaitanya. Right in his purport here. Yeah. There are two important Krishna Kathas in this world, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Katha spoken by Krishna, Krishna Katha spoken about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised all his disciples to preach Krishna Katha all over the world without discrimination, because the transcendental value of Krishna Katha can purify one and all from material contamination. So pack your suitcase and start traveling all over the world. Because Lord Chaitanya ordered all of his followers, go all over the world. And if you can't do that, then make this place Krishna conscious by going out and meeting other people. I mean, we have to be Krishna conscious before we can go out and help other people be Krishna conscious. But, you know, it's like the principle of charity. Do you learn the principle of charity after you're wealthy? In other words, some persons have the idea, yes, I'll be charitable after I've sufficiently earned. Now I haven't sufficiently earned, so I can't really be charitable because I haven't sufficiently earned yet. Such a person of such a mentality, when they have sufficient, they're not charitable. It's always, I don't have enough. And conversely, just like training children and being charitable, like, you know, share your toys with other kids or things like that. It's on a very basic level. When I was growing up, my parents, I didn't understand what was going on, but they're training us in being charitable. So here's a quarter, and put it in an envelope and give it to the church, because it's, you know, they gave us the money and you put it in the whatever they call the thing, the donation basket, something. So it's a principle. Whatever we have, we should give to Krishna. And so our capacity may be very modest, but we should extend ourselves to give, because it's a principle by which we will be benefited and others will be benefited. And this age of Kali needs lots of benefit. The strong grip of material contamination upon people in general is very powerful. So what to do? it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Very degraded. The medicine is here. And for our own lives also, the medicine is there. We need to take the medicine. The mundane qualities do not allow a living entity to understand his real position. So we have to be willing to let go of those mundane qualities as well. Not just the pursuit, wanton pursuit of reckless sense gratification, but the principle of base quality of passion and ignorance. We have to be willing to let go and take shelter. And these topics of Krishna Katha, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam, I mean, it's at the very beginning. Dharma prodita kaitava utra. Kaitava dharma is eliminated from the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you're interested in it, don't read another word because it's not here. Such topics are not here. And now again, Vidura, speak on these topics, but speak on them in such a way that they're rich with Krishna Katha. And by that richness of Krishna Katha, one will be elevated from the base qualities and be elevated to the position of transcendental attraction for Krishna. This is the special value of Srimad Bhagavatam. You've heard this example. I'll end with this little example. There are two ways to get to the top of the Empire State Building. This is Prabhupada's teaching. One is the stairway, and the other is the elevator. Fortunately, he didn't use the World Trade Tower as an example because it wasn't built at the time. But there is a stairway that goes all the way to the top. And, you know, for a fire, there's the stairway to come down. And there's the elevator, all the way to the top. So how does it work? Of course, they have two banks of elevators, one that goes to a certain floor and then another bank that goes from those floors up. But theoretically, you go to from the ground floor, and they go really fast. I mean, your ears pop before you get to the doors open. And the door is open and you're at whatever it is, the 86th floor. You go another bank of elevators up to the whatever it is floor. Now you're standing there. So we have similarly this bhakti process is that elevator as opposed to the stairway method, which is the gradual elevation through performance of rituals and performance of prescribed duties and observance of so many details of rituals and observances and prescriptions and injunctions and gradually become elevated. So while we don't have to undergo all those things, we do require the purification, the refined quality and character that properly represents a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord, someone who's on this most fortunate topmost stage just by mercy. Therefore, it is important for us to hear on prescribed duties. It is important for us to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and the descriptions of kings and their glorious activity and the mistakes that come from those that may have some great prowess or strength, Durvasa Muni, but also some pride, and they misuse it, or daksha, or etc., etc. And the consequences of not maintaining a proper Vaishnava spirit when some decoration or some opulence comes from the Supreme Lord. It's all built within the Bhagavatam if we hear it properly. Bhavosarat shotra mano birama. It's the medicine that taken through the ear, medicine that's taken through the ear, that cures the heart of our material disease. So that's the, it continues more on the glory of Krishna Katha. Any discussion on the verse? A couple of verses that we read? Yeah.
Maharaj, I think this is a question about yesterday's discussion. You mentioned that Vidura, he also went to Prabhas Kshetra and heard there that Krishna's family already left. Was it that Krishna also was gone by then?
No. Krishna left shortly after that. As far as I can understand the chronology, when Vidura met Uddhava, it was like it just happened that Krishna left. But going back, Vidura was in Prabhas, and the Yadu dynasty had left, and Krishna made arrangement that they would leave before he would leave. So it was in between those two that Uddhava Gita was spoken. Because the Yadus had left, but Uddhava remained behind. Uddhava heard Krishna left.
Now, shortly after Krishna left, the Pandavas also decided to leave their palace.
Yeah.
And, but then we hear that Vidura went and gave his teachings to Dhritarashtra. So was it that Dhritarashtra left the palace before the Pandavas or after?
Dhritarashtra left the palace while the Pandavas were still in the palace. So I'm not sure where that chronology fits in, but certainly the Pandavas hadn't left yet. So I guess a more refined question is, had Arjuna returned yet? Because when Arjuna returned, when Vidura returned, he knew that they had gone, but he didn't say. Yudhisthira asked the question. So it sounds like Vidura arrived before Arjuna returned, because Yudhisthira is asking about the Pandava, about the Yadus, and he just doesn't answer the question. Later, Arjuna comes, and Yudhisthira asks the same: how are the Pandavas? How are the Yadu dynasty members? And he says they're all gone. So Dhritarashtra left. That would mean that Dhritarashtra left after Krishna left, but before Arjuna returned. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Anything else?
This question has to do with mankind's inability to accept Krishna Katha and our relationship as devotees.
Uh-huh.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that certain types of persons are attracted to Krishna for various reasons. And he also said that a pure soul is very rare indeed. And yet Uddhava experienced pain because of mankind's non-acceptance of Krishna.
Yeah.
Is that an example of the way a devotee should feel empathetic towards
sure.
non-devotees,
sure.
or is that
sure.
pain something that an elevated soul in the mood of separation experiences, or is that a lesson for us all?
It's for all of us. In Prahlad Maharaj's case, when he reflects on the foolish people that are not attracted to Krishna Katha, he very clearly understands their unfortunate position, and he pleads with Lord Nrisimhadev to please deliver them. It it's a right up our alley. It's a Vaishnava spirit, particularly in the line of Lord Chaitanya, or in the line of Lord Chaitanya is very similar to the line of Prahlad Maharaj, where his desire, Prahlad Maharaj's desire, is for the deliverance of those who aren't attracted to Krishna Katha. In fact, Lord Chaitanya says the same to Vasudev Datta, who offered himself to take millions and millions of births. If the people are so sinful, they're unqualified, then transfer the sins to me. I'll suffer for millions and millions of births. You just please deliver them. And Lord Chaitanya's remark is, this is not a surprising comment from an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj like yourself. So it's a Vaishnava principle, particularly a principle of, it applies to us, not just someone who's on this most elevated position as Uddhava, feeling separation from Krishna. There's so much suffering in this world that's completely unnecessary, simply due to ignorance. People don't know. They're doing things that are hurtful to themselves and others. And their own suffering, they don't know why. They don't know what to do. It's so unfortunate. So what are we to do in seeing that reality? That the message Bhagavatam is giving is, speak this message, because the message itself is a panacea. It's transforming. So even unqualified persons can become qualified. Even they may be attracted only to mundane things. The Bhagavatam is composed in such a way that all types of topics are there, so all types of persons may become attracted to it, and in the course of hearing it, they'll become elevated. Something else? Back there?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned about having two pockets, not just have one pocket for Krishna. Over the last few months, I've been struggling where I'm having those two pockets, one for Krishna and one for me. And I'm struggling a lot to overcome that. I recognize that it's there, but it's the weakness of the heart that I'm not able to overcome, to have just that one pocket. But I'm just keeping myself, okay, I'm right now, I'm weak, so let me handle both. How do I...
Well, the transition is, there certainly may be things that one needs to do to, like, you know, fill up their tank, to charge their battery, to feel nurtured in spiritual life. That's also service to Krishna. I may do something for my health. That's service to Krishna, so I can be fit to carry on with my service to Krishna, etc. That's distinct from secularism, where, okay, this much of my life is for Krishna, and this much of my life really isn't having anything to do with Krishna, it's just for myself. So that's to be addressed by those things that are needed for my physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. It's all part of my service to Krishna. Does that address your question? Not exactly.
No, Maharaj. Because right now, and the situation I'm in, it's not a service to Krishna. It's just attraction to mundane things.
Well, then you what's the word that Prabhupada used? You regulate. You measure that out in certain quantities. If here's the standard and I'm not there. So you regulate that part which is clearly not in relation to Krishna. You follow? Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah.